Blog Talk Radio.
The words we speak translate into feelings that express belief systems at the conscious and subconscious level. And what we speak is what we attract towards us.
We really aren't using our minds for the most positive results in our life.
Do you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make about
that,
sir?
Well, it's out of time with what the lady was just saying, as far as the way the children are raised and the environment that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm in the recovery program now, and it teaches us that we have a philosophy here that we are all born with potential and we are not victims of circumstance. And I believe that everybody has the will to change. You can't blame the way you were raised for things you do in life. You have to be able to decide right from wrong at one point in time.
You are listening to In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Shirley, also known as Toughway. Toughway means to appreciate God and to glorify God. Let's glorify God today on this episode of In the Spirit.
Much for tuning into the show today. I am your host, Shirley, and my co-host is joining us again today. Sandra, how are you today?
I am blessed and highly favored. Shirley, how are you?
Excellent. Just having a little fun with that song. I could not resist it.
I loved it.
I had some technical difficulties with the sound last week, so it didn't come through too clear.
Well, it sounded magnificent this time.
It did indeed. It just brought back a lot of good feeling.
I did.
So today we're going to continue our discussion on, as you can guess, what you see is what you get. And I just, like I said, had to have a little fun with that song today. So one of the things that we're going to talk about also is how do we align our thoughts and actions to actually manifest the goals that we desire, the things that we want, the things that we see in our mind. What do we need to do to bring that into materialization in our life? And there are like three important tips to manifest the dreams and desires of your heart. And one of them is to make sure of what your dreams and desires are. You have to be specific in what you want. And sometimes you have to write it down and write down all the details of whatever it is that you're holding in your mind. You know, because even the Bible tells us to write the vision to make it plain. And then you have to remember that you're going to receive what you manifest. So you need to be sure that it's exactly what you want.
I concur there, Shirley. You just have to truly be specific. I remember in one of my experiences in manifesting myself, I put my manifestation in order within my mind, and when it manifested, it came out exactly, well, almost exactly as I desired, but I had left something out, and I said, oh, well, that was my fault. You know, here I am the creator and co-creator of what manifests in my life. So if I'm not specific in what the desire is and explain it exactly as the way I would want it or you would want it, then when it comes in front of me, it is going to show any absence of any description that I thought that I had put into my mind. It will show exactly what I said. If I said I wanted a chocolate-covered candy bar and I desired it to be here today, and I got that, and actually I intended to have perhaps some nuts on it and left that out, then I'm going to get the chocolate-covered candy bar.
Absolutely.
Without the nuts.
Absolutely. And that's like the imitation of what you really, really wanted.
Indeed, indeed. It is just a fascinating thing.
Absolutely. So it is important to put all those details in when you're visualizing whatever it is that you want. And in the illustration that she, that Sandra just demonstrated, she didn't add the nuts in there, so she got the candy bar with everything else except the nuts. And so, again, the key there is to be specific and have all the details in mind. And, you know, that goes across the board. If you desire to get a new car, there's thousands of cars out there. And so if you're not specific, well, I want a red BMW, it has to have this, that, or whatever, you'll just get a car. And you won't be satisfied with just that car because you'll still be longing for the specific car that you want with all those details.
Indeed. And when you say just a car, that with the universe being so broad and the spectrum so wide, a car could be a broken down car. You still have not explained what type of car you truly desire. A car could be anything, you know, one wheel and a chassis. You haven't said,
absolutely,
I want a, you know, a luxury car running in perfect condition and thus far whatever else you desired.
Absolutely. So you really need to get clear on what it is you want and what your intentions are to manifest your dreams and your desires. And I think another key point or element to that process is that you have to feel and actually see yourself possessing whatever it is that you want. And it doesn't always have to be a tangible thing. You know, it could be something intangible, like I want freedom, which is my one of my desires right now.
Freedom! See, mine as well.
And so in this process, and I'll use me as an illustration in this case, I have to actually see myself being free to do the things that I want to do that's going to fulfill the purpose, the innate purpose that's been placed inside of me. And so whatever that entails, I have to focus on that and direct all of my energies to achieving the freedom and take the steps necessary to gain that freedom from being attached to a job, let's say, for 40 hours a week. Because that's a large chunk of your time and energy devoted to being in that industry or in that system. And we stay in that work environment for years and years and years. And sometimes those jobs can be very stressful and very demanding on us, and it exhausts us and exhumes a lot of our time, and we don't have the time to dedicate to the things that we want to do that will make us more fulfilled human beings.
I concur that you are exactly right about that, because 40 hours a week of your time, if you've become accustomed to that, you've just gone along with it, and your mind has accepted it. However, if you sit down and said you had 40 hours a week to do exactly what you wanted to do, your freedom as you describe it, it makes a great deal of difference in your mind, your energy, and your, you know, your body can sing. It's alive. It's free. So you are absolutely right. You have to have a time frame and some freedom to explore this. Now that you are working the 40 days a week, would you say that perhaps you have already elected some time during the day to do this, or do you just do it in bits and pieces? How do you manage your mind frame as for designing the things in your life that you desire?
And that's an excellent question, and thank you for asking that question, Sandra, because one of the things that I find myself doing, I have to daydream about it, and I do have to set aside time during the day. And this is what I'm learning to do in this process, because I haven't always done that, but I'm learning to do that. And I'm learning to take breaks. I take my breaks now, and I use that time to either read something uplifting, or my MP3 is my best friend now because I have so much stuff loaded on there that's going to help me transition. And so I spend time listening to my MP3 or just daydreaming about what I would be doing with my time other than being on this job at, you know, for 40 hours a week.
Yes.
And so I've gotten deliberate about doing those things, taking the time to visualize and imagine what it would be like.
Yes, that is a brilliant and wonderful way to get on the journey to doing this, because you have to practice. You can't just, I mean, you can manifest, because we're seemingly manifesting all the time, every second. But to be specific, we're manifesting what we truly desire, not something, some miscreation we put together without knowing how to think and create the proper thing in our lives. So, yes, I agree totally. I do the exact same thing. I make sure that I set aside time for these things, because the television is a subliminal criminal, and it will grab you into it and just hold you there. It's almost as if you're hypnotized to that brainwashing 24/7, and you have to turn that television off. And I myself was addicted to television. I had to struggle to get away from that set. But now I just, I still sometimes, there are some shows that I intend to watch and I enjoy. And I'm not saying just cut the television off, not have any television, go into seclusion, but monitor the time you have with your television and make sure that your mind has equal time or more than you give to the activity of the subliminal criminal. Because you have to let go of it in order to go within and be silent and get that peace that you need to bring forth the energy and the vibrations and the loving feelings you need to manifest the beautiful creations in your life. And that way we won't end up with all these miscreations that I myself have created, and certainly others may have as well. So this is what,
absolutely, and we all have. And you said something key there, because what you put in is what you get out also, and that could be the flip side of what you see is what you get. Because if you're not spending your time, if we don't spend our time deliberately and intentionally thinking on those things and practicing and doing to become what it is that we want to become, then we won't be that. We won't have that, and we won't be doing what it is that we want to do. If we spend the majority of our time sitting in front of a television, then we're being programmed by that television, and all we'll be able to regurgitate is the programs that we've absorbed and consumed for so many hours a day, which subsequently is a lot of hours a week. And instead of doing that, like you said, spend that time deliberately reading to learn about what it is that you need to do to be what it is that you want to be, and to go where it is that you're trying to go.
Indeed so. Indeed so. It takes time, seemingly, even though there are thoughts that time is an illusion. It takes this process, I will say, for you to actually manifest truly all the time your soul's desire. And fortunately and unfortunately, what we believe that we are supposed to be manifesting may not be the actual thing. Seemingly, we may not know what it is that our heart truly desires. But over a time of going within and having that peace, you know, it is revealed to you a little at a time, you know, as much as your mind can accept.
Absolutely. And one of the things, going back to the question that you had asked me earlier about how do I spend my time focusing on the things that I want to do to get that freedom, along with that, I have to feel free.
Right.
I have to experience what it would feel like to actually have that freedom.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm doing this step by step by step. And that's one of the caveats that I said when I first restructured the program, redesigned in the spirit, that I was going to share with the listeners my experience as I go through this process, because it's a transition for me as well. And so the longer, and I think you and I had talked about that the other day, because I'm starting to feel a breakthrough. You know, because the more time that I immerse myself in this new thought thinking, the more believable it's becoming to me, the more conscious and deliberate I'm being about certain aspects of my life, how I think and things that I do,
exactly.
And how I feel. It's like my mind is being expanded, and my soul, it's like my whole soul is opening up to this new realm.
Indeed, and that is truly important. That's right. You have to feel it. You have to feel it because you have to feel like you deserve it. Because if you feel like you don't deserve it, then you're going to miscreate something else. It's not seemingly going to be your true heart's desire. It will be, as it states, a miscreation, which means that it's not maybe something that you truly desire, something else entirely different. So, yes, indeed, you have to feel like you deserve what you are desiring.
Absolutely. And I'd like to thank Jeremy Witt for joining us in the chat room today. Thank you so much for being a part of our show today. And so, yes, you definitely have to feel what it is that you want and where you want to be. You have to see yourself being there. You have to experience everything that you would experience as if that situation has already happened.
Now, Shirley, have you truly experienced the one of your or many of your heart's desires that came out in a beautiful display of what you really intended to create?
All the time.
Yes.
All the time.
Do you
even though I didn't realize it some of the time, but as far back as I can remember, even when I was younger, my brother used to tell me, every time you say you want to do something, you always do it. Why don't, you know, you always seem to get what you want. You know, so that's been in me to some degree. But now that I'm actually practicing it deliberately, you know, a clear example was when we did the show a couple of weeks ago and I was talking about the situation with my job.
Indeed.
And the location where I am now in this new position is someplace that I've always, ever since I've joined this organization, and then I used to go to meetings in this building all the time, and they have training sessions that I used to attend all the time. And it's a beautiful building. It's on a lovely, the landscaping is lovely. It's just a beautiful environment to work in. And I've always wanted to be there secretly.
Oh.
And during the course of everything that I was going through at my job, I landed a position at this location.
Magnificent.
And the second half of that, Sandra, is because you know my desire to get back on the station.
Yes.
And the second part of that is the station. They have a radio station at this location, and I've always wanted to be a part of that radio station. So the next promotion for me is to become a part of that radio station.
Oh, well, my congratulations.
So I can kind of see that happening, yeah.
Well, congratulations on that beautiful creation.
Thank you so much. And so that segue us into the next part, the next step, which is you have to make a plan.
Mm.
You know, to manifest or to materialize something in your life is not just wishing for something or hoping that your wish will come true. You have to get busy. You have to put some action behind these things that you desire. So you have to have a plan of action in order to make these things happen. And this is where a lot of people make that mistake because they don't have a plan. And, you know, so therefore, like I said, they're only wishing. And they forget that it is some work required. You can't just sit around and hold, you know, the thoughts in your mind and envision everything that you want without taking the steps necessary to make them happen. If I hadn't never filled out the application for that position, I would have never got the job and never been in that location.
That's right.
That's going to ultimately lead me to that radio station.
And
so you have to make a plan and then follow through, put that plan into action.
That's right, because without acting, the universe is saying, well, what do you really want? We don't know, because you haven't set forth anything to show me the direction in which you really, truly want to go. So you have to put that action in, and sometimes the action is different for everyone. You put in the application. For someone else, like myself, it might be to simply say yes to something that you've been saying no to all this time. The effort for whatever your heart's desire sometimes is so simple that seemingly we tend to overlook it or have some fear surrounding that situation to stop us from moving forward. So therefore, we have to get busy. Put that action in play. Like I said, it's not the same for everyone because everyone's desire is not the same. And like I said, it could be as little as saying yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, what do you envision for your life, no matter what you're going through in life or how you feel about it or what you think about the situation and whatever the it is for you, the it situation is either going to perpetuate the madness or your thoughts will aid in resolving it favorably or not favorably. It just depends on how you see that situation in your life. Because our thoughts are the words and images that we hold in our mind, and the thoughts create the words that create the picture of what you're holding in your mind. So subsequently, the thoughts create the feelings associated with your intention, and the thoughts bring about the feelings of joy, happiness, peace, worry, or fear.
That's correct. We are the creators of the script, and when we put that script out there with the scenario exactly the way we intend it, then the universe will produce it for us. And that is what we see coming back at us, and that is what we see in our lives. That script that we put forth in our minds, and that is one of the reasons, as you say, you know, we have to sometimes, even I will go into like they call it top of mind. Sometimes there's so much clutter in your mind, it's difficult to calm the mind down so that it can just have a moment of peace, because from day to day, you're in the workforce, as you are, for 8 hours a day. You have everybody coming to you telling you something. You hear a little piece here, a little piece there. And when you get home, these thoughts are revolving in your mind. Oh, well, maybe I should have done this today. If I had done this sooner, I would have gotten this. And it takes some time to calm that mind down to be peaceful, because these thoughts are going to run around in circles over and over and over again. And if you don't stop them, we want the race to cease. We want some peace in our minds. We want a calming down period to put these thoughts in place, to write the perfect script. And then the universe will produce that wonderful creation has surely got this position, and she is where she desired to be. Her mind was calm. She wrote the perfect script to be where she is, and that is a beautiful manifestation. That is indeed.
Thank you. And my script writing is getting a lot better.
We all
oh, you know what? Absolutely. I'd like to take a moment, though, and go back. Since I had problems with the audio last week, I really want to replay the segment from Reverend Kevin's interview, Sandra, if you don't mind. Because
okay.
I think what he had to say about what you see is what you get is quite significant and still applicable for the session today. So yes. I'm going to go ahead and play that segment.
Perfect.
How important is it to be imaginative? And is that the same as visualization? In other words, what you see is what you get?
Yes. Imagination is extremely important because it's a faculty that we all have, the ability to see beyond appearances. We have the ability to see with our eyes closed. That's another way of defining imagination. Your ability to see with your eyes closed. Your imagination is what I like to put your nation of images, if you look at the two words. It's your world of pictures, and your life becomes a reflection of the world of pictures that are impressed within you. So if you have images in your mind about you being a worm of the dust, well, then people will mistreat you because worms get stepped on. If you have within your imagination images of you being prosperous and healthy and whole and free, then you begin to express this imaging law in your world and in your affairs. Worry, when people worry, they are also exercising their imagination. They are seeing unfavorable outcomes. They are seeing unfavorable outcomes. And so the imaging law simply outpictures for them what they have held in mind. So if you worry a lot, you are using your imagination to draw into your experiences things you do not wish to experience. That old statement, if you worry, why pray? If you pray, why worry? It's more than a cliche. It actually, you're actually using your faculty of imagination when you do that. What a person imagines in their mind, whether consciously or unconsciously, they will manifest that in their lives. Yes, that's what they see for themselves. God said to Abram, lift up now thine eyes and look from where you are, north and south and east and west, and all that you can see, I will give it to you. All that you can see, I will give it to you. But I won't give you anything you can't see first. Why should I? Because you didn't have the courage to see it for yourself. But if you have the courage to see it, I'll give it to you. And that's really what the imaging law says. Visualization is a practice. It's taking that one step further to intentionally sit through a process of seeing specific things that you wish to be, do, and have. It's getting intentional about it. It's getting focused about it. It's getting clear about the things that you wish to experience. Remember, the mind sees in pictures. If I said to you right now, don't see a red dot, it's impossible for your mind not to have formed a picture of a red dot, right? Because the mind pictures. And so every time we introduce a word into our consciousness, it transforms as an image. So imagine all of the things that we are saying that are negative on a daily basis that are being recorded like film in our consciousness and then begins to play out in our experiences. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
That was excellent.
Absolutely. And that summed that up nicely. We have to focus. We have to be intentional because the mind sees in pictures. That statement alone is phenomenal.
Yes. The mind sees in pictures.
In every word, because I think we had mentioned that last week, that words have a picture or some image associated with it.
Indeed. Now, and I have myself been studying metaphysics for 13 years, and I consider myself a novice because there's so much to explore. I'm just have my toe, actually, in the metaphysical world. That is all that seemingly that I can say that I have. I have not transcended, you know, the brilliance and the magnificence of this wonderful mind that we have. So I say to myself, in the imagination process, I play a game with myself because I feel like, for my mind, if you play a game with yourself in imagining, then, you know, it seemingly is not complicated. And even though I'm imagining myself sometimes, imagining the prosperity, the beautiful home, and all the things that my heart's desire is from my perspective, there's a little voice sometimes still, and I know that this is not the voice of my guidance, in the back of your mind tugging and saying, well, no, you can't have that. You know, and that is because I have not developed my intentionalities to tell myself seemingly that I truly deserve what I am imagining. Your imagination can expand, can transcend anything, you know, beyond human belief and experience or any of that. But if you cannot see it within your mind, you cannot see yourself deserving it, then the ego will pull you back into that little corner and say, oh, no, You can have that, even though you're using your mind to imagine and outpicture for you. That little ego in the back of your mind can still tell you that, no, you can't have that, and that's not true. We are unlimited in our imagination, in our imagining. We can imagine anything, anything that we can come into our minds, and that we can have the ability to manifest that in our lives. And that takes practice.
It certainly does, absolutely, and learning how to control that negative voice that's telling us what we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you said that's very important also earlier is that we have to capture those billions of random thoughts that pass through our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And so our part in this process also is to maintain those thoughts, or maintain thoughts that are conducive to what we want to materialize in our life. We have to control some of those billions of thoughts that randomly pass through our minds and capture those that will bring favorable results. You want to dwell on those things that are pure, good, prosperous, of good report, that are virtuous and praiseworthy. And the flip side of that, though, is if you don't recognize the thoughts that you're holding in your mind and you just let your mind wander aimlessly on any thought, whether it's negative or not, that's what you'll bring into your life.
Indeed.
Because we really are a sum total of our thoughts.
Indeed. You are absolutely correct.
So it's really important for us to align our mind and body and our thoughts. And the trick is to get your body and mind synchronized. And, you know, I told you I've been listening to a lot of Joe Dispenza lately.
Oh,
and
yeah.
One of the broadcasts that I listened to of his, he gave an illustration of how to get the mind, body in sync and how they can operate separately. And one of the examples that he used, the person who he was who was interviewing him, had a love or a passion for horses, so he used a horse illustration for her sake. And the illustration was that the horse would be our body and the rider of the horse would be the mind. And so for years and years and years, the rider would let the horse just wander and go wherever it would go when it would take it out for a ride. And I'm kind of paraphrasing here a little bit. And so while they were riding, if the horse wanted to get a drink by the brook, you know, the rider would just go along. They're riding along. If the horse wanted to graze in the grass, you know, the rider would just go along. So that in essence, the horse was taking a rider for a ride. And so that's just like our bodies. Whatever our body wants to do, our mind just goes along with it. Until, you know, and after 20 or 30 years of doing this with the body being in control, one day we have a revelation that things have got to change. I've let my body control me into obesity. I've let my body control me into whatever, you know, that is for you. So in this illustration, the rider decides, you know, hey, I'm the rider. I'm supposed to be in control here, not this horse controlling me. And so at that point, of course, there's going to be some resistance. And so I think in the illustration that you gave earlier about the negative thought saying, well, you can't do this and you can't do that, that's the resistance, because
yeah.
Somewhere you've made up your mind that you need to change from whatever a person needs to change from whatever the situation is. And so then a resistance comes when those negative thoughts are of doubt, why you can't do this or why you shouldn't do this.
Indeed.
And so once we learn, though, to remain persistent and control those thoughts, and line our actions up to those thoughts, then eventually the body will fall into line. And in an illustration with the horse, once the rider takes control again of the horse and starts leading the horse where the rider wants to go, and the rider is taking the horse on a ride, then they're synchronized. Then the horse is like, okay, I can't win here, so I just might as well go along for the ride.
Indeed so. That's exactly right. And without, I call the mind the kingdom. Without ruling that kingdom, I'm telling you, you will have decay and poverty in that mindset. And that's what you will outpicture. You have to take control of that brilliant tool that we have. It's so magnificent that we have just taken it for granted. We
yes,
have not
absolutely.
Realized what a magnificent thing we possess.
Absolutely.
Yes, and you know what I tell my friends, Shirley, that is so funny. I tell them that, you know, we seemingly, if we realize how much potential we have with that brain-mind potential, we are only using less than, they say, 2%, I believe. Here we have 100% brain-mind potential to produce and create all that we desire perfectly, not imperfect, not miscreations, but perfectly, and we use 2%. So here we have 98% of our brain-mind potential that is just sitting there waiting for us to gain our control and have authority and power so that it can manifest exactly what we desire, and we sit here and take it for granted.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, but if people aren't aware of that, they don't realize that, you know, they're okay the way that they are, and that's fine for them.
Right.
You know, that's fine for them. We're not talking to them. We're talking to the people who want to change, who want to transform their lives, who are sick and tired of sitting around letting their body be the boss and dictate how they should feel and what they should be doing and how they should do it. They're tired of sitting around laying on the couch all day watching TV, you know, and eating anything that's in the refrigerator. They want to make a conscious decision to change their routine and break those habits.
Indeed, because if you are bored with life, it's because you haven't desired to expand your mind any further than where you are right there. To say at that point that you're saying that you're bored, you haven't chosen to expand your mind because the mind is so phenomenal. You cannot get bored. Once you learn and put your mind into action and realize what a brilliant and beautiful gem you have there, it's almost as if you would, it's almost as if it's sacrilege not to explore it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so when you start to think and focus your thoughts in that direction of what it is that you want to materialize in your life and begin to do those things to realize that thought, at some point you'll start to get what you see. So you have to, again, you have to see clearly what it is you want and continue every day to do the work to bring that vision into existence.
I concur.
And again, I think most people forget that part where they have to do the work. They think all that is required to do is just to hold on to the vision and sit around and watch TV, and it will magically materialize.
Well, something is going to magically materialize. It may not be what they desire, but something will.
Absolutely. And so for those who are listening, if you'd like to call in, I'd like to give out the number. It is 646-716-5180. Give us a call with your comments about the discussion today. And so let me ask you the same question that you asked me. You know, what is the process that you go through, Sandra, if you don't mind sharing with the audience, to evolve and manifest the things in your life that you desire for you?
Well, I'm similar to you as well, although I work from home. So therefore, I have actually the freedom that you're speaking of. I do have that in my life, in that Oprah describes freedom as being able to get up in the morning and do exactly what you desire to do. I do have that freedom. I am blessed and highly favored, and I appreciate it. Now, I get up and do exactly what I want to do, and as far as the bringing forth the process of manifesting, I take time out and listen to my thoughts so that I can hear what's going through my mind. Because most people don't take time to hear what's going on in their minds. They are so busy with their day, there's so many things going through, that they haven't taken any time to listen. Just sit down and just listen at the thoughts that are coming through.
To be still and be quiet, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the things that come through your mind, you know, I found for myself that they are so absurd. So absurd. And I think to myself, why would I think something like that? And, you know, and so I take the time. So now I'm catching the thoughts that come through, and I can choose to cast them on the holy fire of spirit to be dissolved so that perhaps these thoughts won't run through again, or listen and see why these thoughts are coming through, because there is a philosophy that the thoughts that bubble up to the top of your mind that you truly hear are the thoughts that are most self-serving. And some of the thoughts that come forth to the top of your mind, you know, you have to ask yourself, why is this the most self-serving to me? And why would I feel like or think that that is the most self-serving to me at this time? So I take that time and I listen. I turn the set off. I read like you do. I have a collections of books that I read that I feel like keep my mind in the higher section so that my higher self is speaking to me more so. I usually surround myself with people that are of like mind that I can speak to on the same level of my higher self. And they would not think that what I'm saying is something absurd and something from the twilight zone. Because when you really delve into your mind and realize how it truly works, when you speak to someone that is not on the same level as your mindset is, then it sounds like you're from another planet to them. So you have to align yourself with people that are in like mind thinking. So that's what I do. I study night and day. Sometimes it doesn't require any study for me. It takes, like you say, some time. So just peaceful time where the television is not on. And I listen.
Absolutely.
Yes, and I listen. And I meditate. You know, sometimes I meditate. I get my candles, and I sit on the floor, and I surround myself with candles, and I meditate. And some people think that meditation is difficult for them, but that, too, takes sometimes some practice. You know, you have to get your own space, your own time. You can't meditate if everybody around you is running and asking for something, or if you have to cook dinner, you have to find a special time for yourself with the peace. And if you have to go into another room, do that. Find
yes.
that peaceful time. If it's only the bathroom, you know, find that peace for yourself. Don't complain about the fact that I wish I had a meditation room. Any room can be a meditation room. Any
Absolutely.
Place. That's quiet. If it's a closet, just make yourself satisfied with where you are with what you have. And do that and, you know, keep yourself, keep your mind, you know, not sometimes when you're starting this, it's difficult if you're working like you, Shirley. You can't saturate your mind all the time. But, you know, come back at some point during the day, if it's only 15 minutes for yourself, and just, you know, reflect on, you know, the thoughts and desires that you really want. And or just be a quiet minute, you know?
Absolutely. And that is wonderful, you know, advice. And that's so true because with me working every day like I do, when I get off work, I have to have some wind down time. You know, even though I spend some time during the day at work deliberate in my thoughts and intentions of what I want to manifest in my life, you know, during the course of the day after that, I'm still bombarded with a lot of stuff. So when I come home, I have to have some wind down time, and I take that quiet time to sort of debrief and go over my work day, and then I leave. That's one element of my day that's complete, and then I go into the next phase. So it's like taking off one hat and putting on another hat, and then you alluded to something else that's really important because we have to read. You know, anybody can't go to school all the time and do whatever, so it's a wealth of knowledge in books. There's so many books out there that can help us accomplish and get to where we want to be, and again, like you alluded to, associating with people who are of like minds. And one of the books, and I have it up on the site that helps me, one of my favorite books is Riches Within Your Reaches. And when you and I were talking last week, you were talking about books being magical, certain books you are magical. This is a magic book for me. And I'd like to share some of the context of the books. And one of them is this statement is that the images we hold steadfastly in our minds over the years are not illusions. They are patterns by which we are able to mold our destinies.
Oh.
And then in another section where it's talking about the higher laws of potential, it says that you cannot accomplish anything by expressing a desire and then spending your time fearing or worrying, lest you will not work. You will not find the work that you seek or have the money and time to pay your bills or whatever, you know, it is that you're looking for to happen. So your mind can't be hoping, you can't hold on to the thoughts of these good things happening to you and then at the same time worrying about how it's going to happen, if it's going to happen, and when it's going to happen.
That's
you
right.
have to have your mind and body in sync, and your thoughts have to all be in sync to
That's
bring that thing into manifestation. Because nothing can stand between you and your fondest desires but the lack of faith in the power, you know, to attract that thing that you're holding in your mind, that you're believing for.
I believe that wholeheartedly. Exactly. I concur. That is magnificent. And would you repeat the name of that book again, please?
It is Riches Within Your Reach by Robert Collier. And one of the illustrations, and this was pretty awesome, one of the illustrations that they had given in this book was, and it was written back in the day, and I love the old writers because they were so raw and the material was so unadulterated, you know, like it is today. It's just so watered down and commercialized, and, you know, it's just good, entertaining reading, but there's no magic in it as far as I'm concerned. And so it was a story in here about a young girl who her husband had died or something and left her penniless with a bunch of kids, and she needed to go out and find a job, so she got a job in this fancy department store. And she was coming from a meager background, so having an opportunity to work in this, like, four-star department store was quite an honor for her, because she got a chance to see a lot of the rich and wealthy coming in, buy some of the finest clothes, and, you know, be served tea and trinkets, you know, while they, you know, shop for whatever. And so in her mind, she made up in her mind that she wanted to have a store just like that. And so she wanted to be elegant like these elegant ladies were, and she wanted to be rich like that, and she wanted to see wealthy people coming into her store and her waiting on them. And so she started out, and I'm trying to find it as we talk so I can get a little more specific, but she started out as like maybe a dressmaker in the store. And so every time she'd walk past this full-length mirror, she'd see an image of herself as this elegant lady. And she'd see customers, elegant customers, and her waiting on these elegant customers. And long story short, in the process of time, I think she stayed at this store like 5 or 10 years or whatever, and that vision that she saw in herself, she started becoming that in her mind. And over the course of these years, people would see subtle changes in her. You know, she'd go from low self-esteem to high self-esteem, and even the boss started taking notice, and the boss started giving her promotions and raises. And subsequently, she ended up running the whole department and eventually having her own business, and which manifested the vision that she held on to for herself all those years.
Oh, my. That is a beautiful story. Indeed, and that is how it works.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. It is magnificent. That's why I say to myself, I need to take the time and spend more time now with myself while I have the time to explore my mind, because there is so much of a beautiful fascination of learning how this mind truly works.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating.
Oh, and what I wanted to say also in regard to that story, one of the things, because she started out as an errand girl, and so these words were important, because it's just amazing how the universe brings all things together at the right time, because your husband used to say this all the time, when a student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Exactly.
And so one of the things I started learning in this process is that I have to make believe that I am, and that's what it is. That's a word we used to use as kids all the time. You think of all the games that we used to play. We used to make believe and pretend that we were the doctor, or make
that's
believe
right.
and pretend that we were the executive, or whatever the case would be. Well, as adults, we have to play those games again. We have to make believe that we are that thing that we want to be, and we will become that. Because one of the things out of this story about this girl, and it was in a section about treasure mapping also, which is another thing that's important to do, is that she said, it's written, of course nobody ever suspected the secret existence of this make-believe person. And the make-believe person was the person who she saw herself to be in the mirror. And another thing, that it's a process. It takes time. She didn't just become that person in 2 or 3 or 4 months. You know, it took years and years for that to evolve into the manifestation. And we live in such a a rushed, hurried society where everything is fast food. We got to have it now. We got to have it now. And if it's not working for us right now, we don't get the manifestation right now. This thing must not be working. So
that's
we just
correct.
Give up.
And yet we still have these beautiful examples of so many of these brilliant athletes like Serena Williams. She didn't pop up all of a sudden. She practiced since she was a young girl. Now she is a champion. So the mind has to be worked in the same manner. You have to practice the imagination. You have to use that imagination every single day. Work with it. It's there to be molded. And as I say, you know, the scenario and the script is there. All you have to do is put forth the effort and the time to build that mindset and produce that and write that script so that the mind can go ahead and produce it for you. It's not going to pop up out of the blue.
Absolutely, and that's what co-creating our life is. What co-creating our life is, it's performing the actions required to produce the results that we desire and then trusting the universe to do its part.
Right, and have that indelible faith. You know, you can't go back and forth and say, oh, well, you know, wimp out, you know, it to a certain degree and say, well, I don't know if I want that or not. If you really desire it, steadfast. You have to be steadfast, be bold and daring, and keep the courage and say, yes, that is what I desire. That's what I want. Put that imagination to work and show yourself that you desire and deserve what it is that you're wanting to outpicture in your life. It's a magnificent.
Absolutely.
It's just like magic, actually.
It is. Actually, it is, because we do our part, and the infinite and divine mind will do its part. And it's not our concern how divine mind is going to provide for our needs. As long as we stay tuned into the spirit, we will get our heart's desire.
That's correct. That's correct. And if we don't see it in front of us right now, it's because we have not held that vision steadfast with indelible faith. I myself am seemingly guilty of not holding perhaps all that I desire steadfastly. And, you know, I may not have all that I desire yet, but I know that I'm on the right path. And that in itself is magnificent. You can't just, you know, put things out there as we were speaking earlier. We have to get things in our minds clearly. Define things. You know, there has to be a defined structure and image in our minds. The imagination is so magnificent until you can only use it for your highest good. And then when you're co-creating and you look around and you say, oh my, and what you do when you manifest these beautiful things, appreciate it, celebrate it. Don't just say, oh, I thought that, I imagined that, and it came. Celebrate those moments that you see that your creation has come back to you in the manner that you've desired. You know, revel in the fact that you are a great creator, a magnificent creator. Don't just let the creation pass by idly without recognizing it to some degree and celebrating it, because that in itself will encourage you to want to put forth more effort next time to manifest your next desire. Show yourself that and rejoice in the fact that I am a great co-creator. Look at what I created. I'm just wonderful. Revel in it. Enjoy and celebrate every single minute of it. And the next time, you'll create it much more easily.
Absolutely, and again, that goes back to the practice thing. But, you know, this works. This philosophy and this concept works across the board in every single area of our life. And for the parents, I'd like to say that this will work for your children as well. You have to see your children the way that you want them to be, regardless of what you're going through with them. You know, you may be going through with your kids now. You know, whatever you speak into their lives is what they will become. Because those words that you speak are seeds that you're planting in that child's soul.
That child
will live up to that. You know, a clear, clear example of that, when I was a single mom with my three kids, raising my three boys in California, when my oldest son got into some trouble, he was being accused of something that he did not do, and he got arrested for it, too.
Oh, my.
Now, my kids know I've raised them to never, ever lie to me, because if they lie to me, I lose faith, and it's hard for me. You know, I can't back them. You know, I need to know that you're being perfect. And this goes across the board with any relationship that I'm in. I need to know that you're perfectly honest with me. And so they know they may lie to everybody else, but when mom's on the scene, no, they have to tell the truth. And so when I asked my son what happened, and he told me what happened, and a couple other people corroborated with what he said, I'm like, okay, that's it. You know, it's no way that my son is going to jail for something that he didn't do. So the next day when he went to court, I had already fixed in my mind that my son was coming home with me that day. I did not see him going away for 4 or 5 or 6 years. Because the way times are now, the court system has very little tolerance for juvenile delinquent behavior, because these kids are outrageous. You know, they can do some really crazy things. But my son was not one of these kids. He was just being accused of something that he didn't do. And so I went into that court again, firmly convicted in my mind that my son was coming home with me. I didn't care what the lawyer had to say. I didn't care what the district attorney had to say. I did not care what the judge had to say. I sat in that courtroom just believing in my mind, and I did my little prayer and meditation thing, and even while I was sitting in the courtroom listening to all this stuff. And then I heard the judge say, well, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to let you go home.
Oh, my God.
And I'll tell you, Sandra, in that courtroom that day, I must have sat through at least 20 cases before my son's case was called.
Oh,
every single one of those kids got locked up.
Oh,
my
dear.
Son was the only one who walked out of that courtroom free.
Oh, my God.
And even when I was going to sign the papers from, the lady said, I could not believe it. She said, because that is the one judge no kid wants to come before, because he locks everybody up.
Oh, my God, and that was you creating that magnificent, beautiful script. You wrote the perfect script, and you know what?
Absolutely.
If you had to listen to all of that, you could have, your faith could have been shaken, because he was sentencing everyone. Your faith could have been shaken, but no, you had indelible faith in the fact that your son was going to come home. He could not be washed out. He could not be moved or disturbed. And you got
Absolutely. Exactly
what you desired.
Absolutely. So parents, if you believe in your child and you have that kind of bond with your child, well, you know, you stand by your child. You know. And I use that as a teachable moment for my son, too.
Indeed.
You know, to teach him about the universal and the spiritual laws that are in operation.
Uh-huh.
And they, you know, they got it, Sandra. They got it. So don't give up on your kids, parents. You know, and we're the examples that they, you know, follow. It's not about do what I say and not what I do. They watch what you do.
That's right.
You know, kids are watching what you do.
That's right. You must be a living example.
Absolutely. So you have to hold the highest thoughts for your kids, your family, your marriage, whatever the circumstances of your life are that you want to see some change in. See the change in your mind and hold steadfast to that no matter what, and don't let that vision go. And do everything in your power to make that vision come true, and the universe will take over from there.
That's right. Sow the right seeds, and you will produce the beautiful, beautiful life, as Shirley predicted, as Shirley had with her son. She sowed the correct seeds, and held faith, which was the fertilizer for the seeds that she sowed. And she did not give up on that crop, and it produced such a magnificent bounty for her. Her son was freed. Well, congratulations. I applaud you in that manifestation.
Well, thank you, and thank you that the laws of nature and the laws of the universe definitely do work, and it's no secret. We have about 60 seconds left of the show. Sandra, can you believe it's been an hour already?
No, that was so quickly.
Absolutely. And I'd like to take a quick moment to remind you to tune in to the show on October 3rd, where our special guest is going to be Simon T. Bailey, author of Release Your Brilliance. If you haven't gotten the book, get it now. Closing words, remarks, Sandra?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. This was an excellent show, and thank you so much. My name is Sandra Wadsworth Butone, saying, let's all be great rulers of that kingdom that is our minds. And remember that a fearful ruler lives in a fearful domain. And until we speak again, live long and prosper. Thank you for tuning in.
I mean, what you see is what you get. I mean, what you see is what you get. It's what you get, my baby.